Here we go. Rolling sound. Quiet.
It's not complicated. Call it creative. Call it art. Call it design. It's the Design Coach on Lake 96.1, sponsored by Bob's Floor Covering and Stone Leaf Remodeling.
I don't know how I'm going to top last week's show.
Oh, it was so good.
I don't know what I'm going to do.
You had me like in tears.
I did.
Yes.
Oh. Yeah. Well, I didn't mean to do that.
Remember, I was looking for Kleenex.
I didn't mean to do that.
Well, no, I know you didn't mean to. That's not what you set out to do, but
I had total synergy, though.
It was good, yeah.
And for those of you who don't know what I'm referencing, I was referencing a blog that I recently wrote. If you go to thedesigncoach.com and you go to my blog page, you're gonna see an entry that's it's basically five more things I discovered while tending my garden. That's sort of the paraphrased version of the blog.
It was great for Mother's Day.
But it just kind of went on to talk about the, you know, nurturing, and it was in the backdrop of Mother's Day, and it was a really good show. So the archived version is there for you to listen to if you want to give it a look at thedesigncoach.com, and also Lake 96 has the archived versions as well.
Yes, we do. Yep.
Okay, so this is the slow slide to Memorial Day.
The slow slide?
No, it's not. It's kind of fast.
Oh, sure. I think
don't
it
you
is
feel like it's like
graduations? Well, it starts off with
okay.
Mom's Day prom.
So, okay, so speaking of this, so I was just commenting to my wife Julie this week that this was the first time I actually feel okay, like clear-headed and not exhausted. This stretch from the end of April for us to the middle of the month has been crazy.
Has it?
Well, just between musicals and prom and all of the things that, and the fact that maybe spring came on so quickly, like it was, you know, we didn't really get in April.
No, we didn't.
We didn't get in March. You normally get in March and April, you get a couple 65 degree days.
Mm-hmm. Teasers.
Where you can kind of, It almost feels like spring this year is compressed.
I know. Because it has been.
It has been. So I'm trying as hard as I can, but also as diligently as I can, without feeling like I'm being totally lazy. I'm trying to slow it all down.
I don't think lazy would ever be a word that would ever describe you or
but
your personality.
But here's what I'm finding. What I'm finding is while I'm trying to develop a good pace, it seems like the world around me just wants to put their foot on the gas pedal, which, listen, I'm fine with. But there's only so much quality interaction that you can have in a 10-hour day that we're already working, right? Where you can really do your best work and wrangle all of the people that we have to sometimes to finish these projects. And so everybody who's working on our behalf is doing a really good job, but it seems like everybody's really dealing with this compressed sort of schedule to sort of deal with, especially what we deal with here in the Geneva Lakes area, which is the onslaught of summer. Like, it just seems like all of a sudden,
well, bam,
we blink and it's here. And I feel like everybody around me is a little delayed in the reaction time, including partially myself. And it's not that I'm not coming in and I'm engaged. I'm totally engaged. But I'm trying to look at everyone's freakout point on the way that they push, right? And say, okay, I want to push too, but I want to push correctly. Because a lot of times what you'll find is when you try to just do knee-jerk reactions to fitting things in when you have time, and decoration and design definitely falls into this category. You know, people put it off, they procrastinate, they wait, maybe the weather like it was last week does not cooperate, and then all of a sudden you feel like you're in this big push because you have this limited window. And you push, and you oftentimes waste a lot of energy by maybe not doing some of the research to really give the project your best effort. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing that we really fight for at the Design Coach, is sort of the integrity of the process. Like, let's really try to really let each component of a project or an idea kind of come together, and that way you get the best outcome, and that outcome doesn't always happen with the snap of a finger. And there's this immediacy that I think is important as we approach summer. If you really want to enjoy your time, then you have to really like slow down. And this is what I'm trying to communicate. Like after last week's show, I was like, how can you really nurture something when you're running, you know, a mile a minute? Mm-hmm. How can you really take the time if you're always in a hurry? And the backdrop for today's show, and one of the things that we've been doing is, did you see the new images that we launched?
Oh, did
for
I
summer
ever?
For summer 2018?
I did. They're
like
amazing.
Thanks.
Yes. And if you have not seen these, you definitely need to get over to your website or your Facebook, because these images are so cool.
And now we've got them in the gallery.
I love them.
So now they're now those prints. And what you're talking about and what we've been dedicated to is, you know, there's always this rush as a retailer to try to, quote unquote, stock your store for summer. Right?
Yeah,
I mean,
that
that's
makes sense.
That's pretty common up here. You know, we tend to be, obviously, traffic in the downtown Lake Geneva area obviously is, you know, much higher when the weather gets nicer and summer hits, and that's wonderful. But at the same time, you don't just want to stock it with stuff, you want to stock it with great stuff. And one of the things that we've been doing is, rather than just going out and finding manufacturers that we like, that a lot of times other people carry, we're pivoting to create and find these one-of-a-kind items that only that have really just kind of been created out of either my mind or the mind of my team. And Kristen, who's just come on with us, who is our new brand ambassador at the shop, has been working with me to create these, what are called these, it's called the Vintage Postcard Series. And if you haven't seen it yet, if you go to thedesigncoach.com and you go to the, you know, studio and gallery page, you're going to see all the new releases.
Oh my gosh.
That we've created for 2018, and we're going to release more. So we've always been in the business of creating great interiors, and I've always been in the business of creating cool things, but this is a chance for us to sort of create artwork that is two things. One, celebrates the area.
Yes.
Which is one thing that I really wanted to try to do. I didn't want to just try to, I've been increasingly doing that, even with my fine art, right? My textural landscapes that you've been seeing me post.
Right.
But I wanted to create sort of these digital postcards in a way that sort of are very nostalgic and kind of harken back to, you know, way back. It's like almost like a 1940s vibe.
Yeah.
A little bit.
They're so cool.
1940s, 50s vibe. And to give it a nostalgic feel, but in a current way, and in a way that was affordable. And the prints are, not only are they affordable, but they're a great way to bring in color into your space. They're a great way to celebrate the area. And so we are super excited, and kudos to Kristen, my brand ambassador, for helping me put that project together, because I'm excited for people to see the things that we're going to be creating.
Yeah.
And we're going to be doing it all summer.
So how big, what are the size of the prints?
So we can do them any size. Actually.
Okay.
But the standard size that you can pick up out of the studio and gallery is 18 by 24.
Okay. All right.
And then they go, we're also going to be having some that are like 24 by 36.
Okay.
A little bit bigger. Because once you frame those. Now, the greatest thing about them is that we're selling the prints unframed. Now, we'll have some framed versions in the studio and gallery, but we're going to sell them unframed, because a lot of times people can take those stock sizes, the 18 by 24 or the 24 by 36, and find frames either online or at their local retailer and pop the artwork right in. It's a great way to inexpensively get a great image, but keep your costs down.
Oh, so
and so we're
great.
Trying to find entry points for great creativity at lots of different price points, so that it's not a situation where you feel like you walk into the studio and gallery and you can't afford things. And prints are one of the ways that we do that. I mean, we've got these French botanicals that we also have in.
Really?
Have you seen those?
I don't know if I have or not.
Okay, we haven't. I don't know if we've ever put them on our. I mean, we've posted pictures of them, but I don't think we've ever really done anything. With them per se, like promoted them the way that we're promoting
okay.
these. But these vintage botanicals are actually reproductions of French botanicals that we own.
Really?
That we then reproduced on a larger scale. And they sell for a fraction of the cost that the actual original print from 1860 would have cost you.
Exactly.
But it's a great way to bring in that sort of vintage, neutral tone.
Right.
When sometimes you don't want the artwork to scream. Sometimes you just want the artwork to be a texture. And so we've got a lot of things like that in the studio and gallery. And speaking of trying to slow things down and trying to bring in more quality. My topic for today's show is actually, I've got these 30 easy outdoor tips from Real Simple for outdoor entertaining. I want to cover these because it seems to me this is one of the most comprehensive lists of great ways to bring in easy ideas. And as much as I don't want to say it, last minute into your entertaining, right, menu mm-hmm. or a repertoire, if you will, to really be able to enjoy what is, I guess, a pretty quickly approaching summer season. So stay with us. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1.
The Design Coach is back on Lake 96.1, sponsored by Stoneleaf Remodeling.
I'm so glad you like those prints.
Oh my goodness, I love them.
I was really, like, I wanted people to find things that they would gravitate toward mm-hmm. that will celebrate the area, like I mentioned in the last segment, but also be something colorful and fun.
I think they're great, and they're going to make great gifts as well. Not only for your own home, but for somebody else.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Oh my gosh.
I think you're right. So based on the popularity of them, immediately, someone asked for a Lake Como.
Did they?
So we released that last week.
Oh,
and then we did Lauderdale Lakes.
You know what? That's the one I need to get because that's the area that we first moved to when we moved here.
Yeah.
And so that one is a must. And
well, we got one of those with your name on it.
Oh, perfect. And then after we move this fall, I'm going to have to live by one of those lakes so I can get another one.
Yeah. And we varied the backgrounds to sort of be a reflection of maybe the community. And, mm-hmm. you know, we really took the time to research what we felt would be sort of this quintessential nostalgic print. And I think every year we're going to kind of release a new version of these.
Oh, that's a great idea.
You know, as a way to sort of mark the summers. I think that might be a fun way to have new additions every year.
Absolutely.
But then look for over the next few weeks, as we talk about, you know, this creativity and the things that we're trying to connect you with at the Design Coach downtown, you know, look for our, because we've sort of done Lake Love. We're going to go rural love because that's where I live. I don't live by a lake. Mm-hmm. I actually live in the middle of nowhere and love it. And so you're going to see another series that looks different than these, that just sort of celebrates more of the rural communities.
I love this
in this area. So
wonderful.
It's a little bit of, you know, it's a little bit of lake and country as far as a vibe that we're sort of, you know, cultivating
mm-hmm.
Right now at the Design Coach, but you can count on color, you can count on nostalgia, and you can count on some really great ideas that are going to be things that we hope that you want to take home.
That's why we count on the Design Coach.
Thanks. We're trying over there. My team's doing such a great job. I've tried to dig into this. Okay, so do you how much of an entertaining, like, connoisseur of entertaining are you?
You know what?
More of like a last minute, I'm going to throw candles out and put beer in a cooler kind of gal? Or do you plan your
get-togethers? I do both.
Okay.
I'm always up for anybody to stop over.
That's a great mindset.
Our door is always open.
You don't need a formal invitation.
But I always have my candles ready in old vases.
Okay.
To grab just old vases at different heights and make sure that I have those out. And so any time, really. I'm so excited.
So I, you know, as I often do research seasonally on, you know, what are the newest ideas that are out there? Or oftentimes it's not that the ideas are new. It's that sometimes we just forget.
Mm-hmm.
And so as I was doing research for today's show, I was thinking about, you know, there are definitely things that I'm going to share throughout the course of today's show that I think are just quick, easy sort of just tips for me to give to you for sort of easy entertaining.
Excellent.
And as a backdrop to that, this Real Simple blog that came out, which is 30 tips to easy outdoor decorating. Listen, I've looked at a lot of these things over the years. This was one of the best.
Really?
That I had seen. And it wasn't necessarily because, you know, like, listen, there are a lot of people who like pictures, like show me, like it was more like, there's a lot of show me Pinterest people.
Right.
Who, you know, they want to see a picture and then they can copy the picture. And there's nothing wrong with that. I think that that's fine. But that's not what this really was. This was more of these are the tips. And then it was almost like, we're going to give you this advice, but now it's incumbent upon you to kind of make it your own. And I liked that. I liked the fact that, you know, sometimes we all kind of mimic because it's easy. But it's so much more interesting to me when the host or hostess has put more thought and personality into their get-together and the way that sometimes they've even decorated it.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
It does.
Then just sort of the perfunctory setup, right?
Right.
That sometimes we all do because it's just easier.
It's easy, right.
Versus taking the time to really kind of figure out, okay, how do I really want this, you know, how do I really want this to go down?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, recently we hosted a party, for a cast party.
Oh, you did?
For the musical kids.
Fun.
At Catholic Central. And it was 25 teenagers. And so, you know, rather than just use our space the way that we had thought with, like, you know, the hot tub and the sitting area and whatever, I kind of consciously made the decision to sort of open up the garage that's adjacent, that's my studio, and put the ping pong table in there. So just in case it wasn't good weather, the kids had still something to do. So I think my first rule of thumb is know your guests. You know, try to put together an offering of both activities and menu that you know will be easy for them to both access and to appreciate. I think that's a really important one, because oftentimes, you know, we sort of get stuck in, like, well, what do we want to see? And you got to remember, ultimately, you know, I think it's the wrong attitude to go in that the party's about you. Party's
really?
About... No, really, though.
No,
think about it for a moment, right? There's a lot of people who are like, you know, if you're trying to have a party, the party's about your guests, mm-hmm. and about your guests enjoying it. It's not about you.
Right.
It's about them. And in turn, that's a positive and great and wonderful reflection of the
it
things
is.
That you're sharing with them.
And you want your guests to have fun. Want your
this
friends
is what
to
I'm
have
saying.
Fun.
So it can't be so, here's the trick, right? The trick is, it can't be so staged that people feel uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
Which means that, you know, casual, flexible, modular seating for me is really important. And oftentimes, you know, one of the things that I tell people about is, please find extra chairs that look interesting. Please find extra folding chairs that look interesting. And what's making a comeback, and this isn't on the list, this is just sort of my aside. So as I'm framing this conversation, I have plenty of time with the rest of the show to get into the Real Simple blog. But when you're talking about the appreciation and putting a little bit of the personality in there and then knowing your guests, make sure that you have comfortable seating that's modular. Because what's interesting is the way groups of people begin to kind of cluster in certain areas. And the most annoying thing is if you have a lot of people and you don't have enough seating. And one of the things that I love are these vintage spectator chairs. The ones that are like, they're wooden, typically,
mm-hmm.
but they fold up very easily. And they're about, I'm going to say they're about 2/3 the size of a normal folding chair. Now, listen, I'm okay if you like folding chairs that have pads on them. I just like a more vintage feel. I also like the spectator chairs because they stack up neatly. And they don't take up a lot of space.
Are those the ones with like the slats on the...
They're the ones with the slats.
Okay.
So it's a wooden bottom,
yes.
and then the slats on the back. And there's lots of varieties of them.
Okay.
But at the Design Coach, whenever I find a batch of them, I buy them. Because I encourage people from porch to pier. They're an outstanding way to bring additional seating. And they pick up easily. And they don't look like your plastic folding chair.
Right.
Your office folding chair. And I think this is where, when it comes to sort of entertaining, a little bit of like thought in the selection of what you're putting out there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, listen, they're not sleeping in these things. So, you know, the knock's going to be, well, they're not that comfortable. Listen, if they're hanging out for 5 hours in a spectator chair, right, and you're all just sitting around, that's called a meeting.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, at my house, it's a little bit more active.
It is.
And listen,
and
you can argue with me, and it's fine, but it's like, I don't know that I want to be a party where I'm just sitting around.
No, people are up talking to different people.
And you know, groups kind of get together, and you always want to be able to say, hey, pull up that seat.
Yes.
Right? Come
yes.
join our group. Right? Or go join another group.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? Bring your chair, I guess. But the vintage spectator chairs, of which there are now reproductions that you can have out there, but if you just Google them, you'll find them on eBay. And we carry them at our store. And what we do is we get them ready for prime time. We fix them up. We make sure that they're good to go. And I have had several customers over the years come in and buy 5, 10, just buy me out of them.
Sure.
Because they know that the quick pickup, and of not just the quick pickup for garbage,
mm-hmm.
but the quick pickup for additional seating, or the ability. And here's what happens a lot with great parties. Where are you guys? Oh, we're over at so-and-so's. Oh, we're going to stop on by. You know, the casual stop by without the formal invitation, that's where these chairs come in really handy. So you not only have to have activities accessible, drinks accessible, food accessible, you not only have to think about your guests, but think about seating. It is one of the most important things that I can put at the top of the list. Because listen, even if you don't have a really elaborate sort of theme, which I'm sure you do.
Oh, you know what though?
From but time
just
to time.
Poppins, it's
I'm
all
sure
good.
You do. That's fine.
But themes,
you've got to be able to accommodate what I call the pub mentality, which is you never know who's going to walk in the door and you always want to have them feel welcome and have a spot for them. So seating is key. So when we come back from the break, we're going to dig into more of these 30 tips for easy outdoor entertaining from Real Simple. And of course, any tips from yours truly. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1.
The Design Coach is back on Lake 96.1, sponsored by Bob's Floor Covering, tile, stone, laminate, vinyl, and more.
Hey, Elkhorn, the flea market
is today.
Is today.
I'm headed there.
Well, right after the show.
I'm going to look for chairs.
Is Larry ready?
Oh, sure.
For those of you who don't know, Larry, or LaRosso, as I like to call him, when I give him his adopted Italian name.
Oh, he loves it too.
He's the general manager over at the Walworth County Fairgrounds. And he has worked very hard, and I know he has.
Oh, that's sweet of
him. He has worked very hard and very diligently to make every experience from whether it's a music program or whether it's, you know, any event that really they have there, he's really tried hard to make it unbelievably, not only promote it, but also make it such a wonderful experience for everybody who attends.
Yeah.
And he has really done a nice job continuing that tradition of that great Elkhorn Flea Market.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Today.
And if you haven't been, I suggest getting in the car and seeing if you can pick up some of those spectator chairs.
I know. That's a great idea.
And listen, here's the thing. You know, they don't have to match.
Right.
You know, they don't. I think we get so
matchy.
We do. We just get so obsessed with, well, that doesn't really fit. And here's the thing. When it comes to this additional seating, I'm not suggesting that these spectator chairs stay out all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
You know, you quick pick, you fold them up, you put them in the garage, you put them away. You can listen. These things are so small. You can even fit them in those indoor, outdoor sort of cedar chests that you can buy, whether they're plastic or not. You can put them on the inside just to keep them protected.
Exactly.
I like to spar varnish mine with a marine exterior varnish.
Oh,
like a water resistant. Okay. So that if they are out overnight and God forbid it rains on them, that they didn't get ruined.
That's a great idea. Or just the dew that, you know, if you do leave them out, you know.
Well, I talked on last week's show about the fact that, you know, we're so geared in and so dialed in now to the maintenance-free items that we so oftentimes now kind of want maintenance-free lives. And, you know, like I said on last week's show, nothing worthwhile, everything worthwhile takes effort. And anything that you want to last needs maintenance. And so, you know, I'm going to call it your party arsenal, which is the topic of today's show. Like, you know, developing a really broad, fun, entertaining arsenal is something that I think is something that, especially this time of year, is something that you can start now. So that in time for Memorial Day, even if you're not having a Memorial Day party, you can be ready to go. To just invite people into their home and share great moments with them. And in the end, that's what design ought to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, design ought to not be museums to beautiful, you know, things. I mean, I guess maybe for some people, that's a thing and they want that. And I've always, as that part of the industry, I've always kind of shied away from that. I would much more prefer, you know, a casual dining set than something super formal. That doesn't mean that I don't appreciate it or I can't appreciate it as art. But I guess, you know, I just think that, you know, people, when you invite them into your universe, should feel comfortable kind of being themselves. I mean, that's really the trick, right? I mean, isn't the trick of a really great party having people just feel comfortable that they can just be themselves?
It sure is.
And not feel like they need to be uptight. And I feel like so oftentimes, if everything matches, if it's too restrained, if it's too calculated, almost too organized, for lack of a better word, then you kind of look at it and you're like, oh, you know, where am I supposed to sit?
Where do I fit into this?
Where do I fit into this apparatus, right? And I guess that's just the Design Coach's way of kind of twisting that. And mm-hmm. so to your point about, like, you know, does this furniture need to match? Or, you know, what if I find these flea market finds that I want to bring in? I mean, you know, one of the great things that I've been seeing that I really like, have you seen these stumps that are now stools? They're stumps of trees.
No, I have not seen
All right,
seen
so
those.
So a few of my clients and on occasion some of my contractors who have, you know, trees that on their properties that have gotten cut down, they've taken them and they've shed the bark off of it, mm-hmm. but they've cut them into big swatches that are really about seat height, which is approximately 18 to 20 inches high.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes when you lose a big tree, rather than have it taken down and burn the wood or have it taken down by the tree service, see if you can convince them to cut it into these squares, not sorry, squares, it's a tree.
Well,
it's not a square tree.
Right.
But they can cut them into these sort of round seats at 18 inches, and you can use them as stools around like a fire.
Perfect.
Or a fire pit. Perfect. And you can take this wood, and if you shed the bark off of it, you can do what I was suggesting with the vintage chairs, and you can marine spar varnish it.
Stop it.
Spar varnish. S-P-A-R. And it's a water-resistant varnish. It's like a boat varnish.
Uh-huh.
For lack of a better term. And it'll you know, you might have to occasionally reapply every couple of years, but it allows you to add instant interesting seating.
Exactly.
By using and reusing, you know, trees from your own property.
Right.
Now, I don't have a tree that big.
But
I mean,
if
I guess
you
maybe
did.
When my willow goes, maybe. But that hopefully that's not for quite some time.
Right.
But occasionally you're going to find that if you reuse and get creative with your seating, it makes people kind of want to join the group. And there isn't anything more inviting. And I'm going to say this again. I don't know why I'm on seats again. Started this segment again. I was off seats. Now I'm back on seats. All I'm saying is there's nothing better than walking up to a grouping, or nothing worse than walking into a grouping and not seeing an open seat.
How it's so awkward.
Am I not? It's so
it's
weird
so
at a party
weird.
To like
so
you
awkward.
Have your drink and you come in and there's seating for six and everyone's already there and you're standing.
And what do you do?
And even if you know the person really well,
it's just
an awkward, weird moment,
it
right?
It is. It
so,
is so,
so that's
awkward.
Why I'm like it's. But it's so welcoming to, you know, to walk up to a grouping and see that there's a place for you,
mm-hmm.
right?
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
And I always, and if you want to be the ultimate host or hostess, which by the way, I don't know if anyone does this anymore. I'm hoping that some of you will find it within you to do that. If someone comes to a grouping that's older than you, give up your seat. Offer to give up
Amen.
Your seat.
Amen, yes. Yeah.
Right? I mean, you know, that's part of, especially if you're the host or hostess, try, you know, listen, Julie and I don't sit down at the parties that we throw. I'm sure that most hosts and hostesses don't. But we also try to work it in tandem where maybe one's sitting for a little bit, then the other one's up. I mean, one of us is always active,
mm-hmm.
which is part of the responsibility of the host and hostess. At least I think so, you know?
Right.
If you want to sit down, go to someone else's party.
Right.
Right. But if you're going to have your own, be prepared to do some of the work. And I think that's sort of understood. But I have seen spouses not. I have seen spouses park and camp.
And don't help.
Oh, and
all.
It's not just the guys I'm talking about. Okay. I've seen it on both sides where I'm
no.
like, oh, apparently he or she is going to be doing all of the work today.
Oh.
And that's not good.
It's not.
I think if you're going to have a party and it's at your house or our house, then the work needs to be spread,
equally. Right.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, be attentive to the needs of the other host or hostess. So,
and to the needs of your guests.
Obviously to the needs yes. of your guests, but that's hard to do when one person's running around.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Right? So anyway,
yeah.
those are my asides before I dig into this blog. I just wanted to get that out there because I'm about, this is the season. Actually, 2018 is just about saying it, right? You know, this show has it started to get a little bit of a tenor of I'm just going to say it and you're going to process it. And then if you don't like it, you can give me feedback if you'd like, or you can go about your way. And that's fine. It's fine. I'll still be here. You don't have to listen. I hope that you do, and I hope that you find something interesting. But I'm going to say it, all right? Help each other out. Come on. A great party is always easier when many hands serve to make light work. Right? Common sense. All right. 30 tips for easy outdoor decorating. You ready for this one?
I'm ready.
A successful dinner party doesn't demand anything elaborate. Just simple food, good company, and a convenient setting. So this is cool, okay? convivial setting. Beautiful. Good terminology in this blog. You ready?
I'm ready.
Here's I tried to get off cushions. I'm back on cushions because of number the
cushions
first one on the list.
Is cushions?
Well, I was off seating, now I'm on seating. I can't get off seating. Maybe I'll have to stand for the show.
You might want
Maybe
to.
Maybe that would help. I don't know what's happening. Thick, comfortable cushions on the chairs will encourage guests to linger at the table. This is true.
This is so true.
So the spectator chairs and the sort of those chairs that I was referring to are probably a little bit better suited for group settings where people are coming in and out of the grouping. Most of the time when you're sitting at the table, you're there for a more lengthy period of time.
Mm-hmm.
Comfort is key. Comfort is key. So think about the cushion. And listen, there are so many more options now that weren't available to you prior. If you don't have cushions now for your exterior chairs, one of the things that I encourage you to do is order them online, get them drop shipped to your house. Okay? Here's why. Oftentimes when you go to the big box store to go do the smash and grab for this party, you're going to have 8 to 12 seats at your dining chair or your dining table.
Exactly.
And you'll have 8 to 12 dining chairs. And then you're going to go and you're going to be in line with the rest of the people who had the same last minute thought that you did. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Which is go get yourself some cushions. Then you end up making bad choices. Here's what some of you do.
Bad choices.
Well, I need 8, so I'm going to get 2 of every color. Because they didn't have 8 in the color I really wanted. That's where a little bit of pre-planning would have helped. Right? And then you end up with a hodgepodge of mismatched kinds of cushions. And then you wonder... You're like, well, it's good for now. You got to be careful of when you're doing entertaining, decorating, that you just do good for now kind of design moves. Because it can come back to bite you later. Then you just end up with stuff, right?
Right.
But I do agree with them that the comfortable cushions at the dining chairs, pretty key.
It is. And I think that keeping your guests in mind as well.
Well, that definitely does that.
You know, it does. If somebody is... back is hurting or, you know, I mean, you just may want to make sure that all of your guests are taken care of.
But here's something really fun, right? I mean, if you're going to do this mismatched design look, and one of the photos that they show is an iron chair, which can be a little bit more uncomfortable,
right?
I would assume over a longer period of time, and they put a cushion on it. One of the things that you want to think about is that if it's going to be a mismatched look, then go all the way with mismatched. I'm not suggesting that it's not good to not, you know, you don't have to match your cushions. I'm just saying that you have to sort of commit to a direction if you really want to pull it off. And I've seen that work brilliantly. I've seen people have no chairs are the same chair. And the common theme is sort of the table setting. And all the chairs are sort of in the same sort of general vintage direction.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks cool. But I like the fact that these cushions that they're advocating also don't oftentimes need to be a cushion. They can just be a pillow. You know, and you can get a bunch of colors. You can get a bunch of patterns that are kind of in the same color scheme, and that can be your look. But if you want these cushions to last, you got to put them away. You can't just leave them outside.
Exactly.
It is kind of a fallacy that exterior cushions will last you forever with zero maintenance. The sun and the water do amazing damage to fabrics, and I don't care about the technology. And listen, I don't want anybody from Sunbrella to call me or anybody to write me. I get it. But they will even admit that color fastness, right, and fabric durability are significantly challenged under water and sun, especially down in Florida where it's salt.
Mm-hmm.
And the salt's kind of in the air and in the water.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So take the time. Take the, you know, make the effort to put the cushions away if you're not using them. One of the best things Julie and I bought was one of those, you know, when we did our exterior furniture package, we actually bought a couple of those containers to put the covers away so that they were easy for us to grab to bring the covers out so we could easily cover the furniture very quickly after our party. But we also use it for things like cushions. You got to make it easy.
It's a great
idea.
But if
you have no place to put them, you're going to leave them out. So that one piece of exterior furniture that you could have brought into the environment, do you know also what that exterior piece is good for? Serving. So we take the cushion bin, right? That doesn't look like a...
Okay, yeah.
And then on top of it, you place a tablecloth. And then you put three trays on it. You've got an instant buffet.
Excellent
idea. So you have to think about multiple purposes for your furniture and for what you're bringing into the space. Okay?
Right. Love that idea.
Anyway, this was a great one. I thought this was cool. They said lay down brown craft paper across the table for a casually finished look and easy cleanup. I love this idea. You know how you can buy the big rolls of craft paper from any craft store?
Right.
The kind that are roughly about the thickness of a table. And if you craft paper the table from side to side, kind of tape it in underneath, it also helps in very windy conditions. This is not because you're trying to protect the table, but let's just say you have a table that's maybe faded or not as nice and you haven't had time to go buy new furniture.
Perfect.
But you want kind of an updated look very quickly and have it be crisp and clean.
Mm-hmm.
I really like the idea of the brown craft paper. And then when the kids spill mayonnaise or ketchup on it, you don't care.
No.
You crumple it up, you put it in the recycle bin, and you're good to go.
And yeah, I love this idea too.
And you can have that around all year round. Right? Now listen, if you start applying it to the inside of your kitchen and you start putting the craft paper at your kitchen table or your formal dining room table, now we have to talk. We have to talk a little bit about that if you're going to do that. So this is, I'm recommending this for outside. Okay?
It would be great.
You start turning your dining room table into a craft room. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I'm a craft supporter. Anyway, when we come back from the break, we're going to talk more about these 30 tips for easy outdoor decorating and the design coach's thoughts on them. Stay with us. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1.
Welcome back to The Design Coach on Lake 96.1.
Hey, this craft paper thing is genius.
It is.
You can think of a million uses for it. You're right. Kids' tables are great.
Kids' tables would be wonderful.
I mean, putting down craft paper over your bad exterior table to give the setting of a nice, fresh look is key.
I'm going to try that this summer.
Now, listen, the same thing that applies, and we're talking about 30 easy ways, right? 30 easy outdoor decorating tips from realsimple.com. And as we go through this topic, I'm definitely giving you my asides and my opinion on this. But, you know, one of the things about the craft setting is that it creates this nice clean canvas or backdrop for the things you're going to do on top of it. I'm a huge fan of making sure that you have some sort of centerpiece, but my advice would be keep the centerpiece low. And I'm not a fan of centerpiece. I like centerpieces. I like multiple. I like three. Keep them low, glass. They can be real or fake candles inside of glass, right? It doesn't take any additional energy or effort, right, to plunk that.
It doesn't.
That candle in a glass vase, and it looks better than just plunking the battery candle out on the table.
Oh.
Okay?
That's my pet peeve.
I know, but listen, people do it. It's just quick. I get it. Listen, I get it, but finer living is about taking the time.
That's what we're talking.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about today. Take the time. And so think about, especially, now you talked about kids' tables. I get it. If that's the paper plate, you know, table, that's fine.
Yeah.
But every now and again, it's really nice. I mean, have you seen the new exterior in like indoor-outdoor plastic diningware?
I have.
It's not like it was when we grew up.
Right. Not at all.
It's not.
Mm-mm.
Also, there's no substitute for being a purist. There is no substitute for white. Remember, just crisp, clean white, right? With a colorful plate on top of it. In fact, a lot of times what you can do is you can use your plates from your home that are typically now a little larger in size. I don't know if you've noticed this, but when we were kids, plates were smaller. Plates are now much bigger now.
They are.
In size. They're technically kind of chargers, almost. So you can take your white dishes from inside your home and use those as a charger to put a plate on top of. And that can act as a nice layered effect. So you don't always need to go out and buy all of these things. Some of these things you can use right out of your own kitchen.
Right.
To then bring outside. I mean, I kind of like the idea of just clean, crisp white and then popping it with some color with the, you know, with maybe the indoor-outdoor plastic.
Exactly. I like that too.
Yeah. Also, I'd love, please, 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 multiple utensil caddies. If you're going to buy one, buy two. Have them at either end of the table. Have them in multiple spots. It's horrible for your guests to try to find silverware. That's kind of annoying. Right?
Right.
So, again, it's about making it easy. It's about being thoughtful. And trust me, especially if you have a longer table or you have maybe more than one eating area. it's so nice that if you lose your fork or it gets thrown away or it falls on the ground, it's nice to be able to have something, have that caddy at the table and then maybe also at the buffet. Mm-hmm. Think about putting it in more than one spot.
That's a great idea. I've never done that.
Do you shy away from umbrellas? Because the next one on this list was umbrellas.
It really, really depends. It really depends. Yeah. I like the look of an umbrella.
It's hard when it's windy. I'll say that right now.
It really depends on the day.
It's hard when it's windy, but I can tell you this. When you do have the opportunity to use an umbrella, please do. It sometimes there's nothing worse than having the wrong angle on the sun in your face when you're eating.
That, yes.
So if you can and it's not windy, try the umbrella, but make a little bit of a, try this. Try stringing lights on the inside of it at night. I mean, you're nodding
so
your head.
So pretty.
You're nodding your head like do that.
It's great ambiance.
Listen, it doesn't need to be fancy. It doesn't need to be fancy party lights or vintage party lights. It could be Christmas tree lights for all I care. But at night, it's a great way to add that ambient light to an entertaining area.
Right.
Especially as the group kind of thins and dwindles a little bit, right?
Yeah.
I mean, at the end of the party, sometimes you're left with you're left with the people that matter most at the end of a party. Am I wrong?
You're right.
For some of you, that may hurt a little bit, but that's the truth. Sometimes you're left at the end with the people that matter most.
Can I tell you,
make it a cool environment.
Yeah, definitely make it a cool environment. Very good.
Anyway, you were saying?
Yes. No, we were talking about the guests that stick around are sometimes the ones that matter. And but anyway, we used to have a huge Christmas party.
Listen, sometimes people stick around and you don't want
because
them to.
Because there's so much alcohol.
But you don't want them to. That is true, too.
It is.
I'm not saying, I don't speak in absolutes here, right? Although even though sometimes I sound like I do leave room. Yes. Okay, for the equation to change.
Right.
I'm just saying as a general rule at the Design Coach, we try to do things to which we aspire.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
And then we're left. Then we have reality.
Exactly. I know. For these Christmas parties, though, people used to say, well, what time did everybody leave? And whether it was 2 a.m. or 1 a.m., whatever it was, people tried to outdo the last year's Christmas party. And finally, we kind of got wind of this. And so we end up having a trophy for the last people, the last couple.
That's outstanding.
The last people that were there. So it kind of made it a thing.
Did people ever just fight to stay awake?
No, because just we're just laughing party. And having a great time. And all of a sudden it's like, it's 3 a.m.
It wasn't like a Brady episode where they're like fighting to see who can stay awake the longest. Sorry. Bad 1970s TV reference. Anyway, as I dig more into this blog, there's a lot here. There's 30 of these, and I'm not going to get into all of them, but I wanted to pick out a few more highlights. I can't tell you enough that you need two bars. That you need a bar that has the beer, the spirits, and the wine. And then just have one that has the sparkling water, the soda, and the non-sparkling water. Do you follow me?
Mm-hmm.
The kids' drinks, if you will, for lack of a better term. Because a lot of times what's worse is sort of fighting at the bin, fighting at the trough, right? And then trying to find the drink you're looking for. I'm a big fan of, it's almost like when you think party, think Noah's Ark. Two of everything. Try to think.
That's good.
Two of everything, right? Multiple seating, enough for a lot of people. Two caddies, right? Two areas where there may be plates. Two areas where there may be beverages to sort of spread and thin the activity. Stock the bar with essentials. Glasses, plates, ice, cocktail shaker, swizzle sticks, whatever, right? Have things and small little touches and accoutrements at these beverage areas that might make it a little different. Let me give you an example. There is nothing better than when if you're going to just serve lemonade that I know you've poured into a carafe, which is fine unless you've made it fresh, which is great too. Serve it with some lemons in a jar and have those lemons sit on ice so they don't get warm and gross. So take your lemons, cut them up, put them in a glass, fill a bowl with ice, and then stick it in there and keep them cold. That's a nice touch.
Very nice.
It's a very nice touch. Same with limes.
Right.
There's nothing better than sort of having a great glass of lemonade with lemon in it. It's like a lemon topper.
It is.
Okay.
It?
There's nothing better than having a mixed drink that you kind of have made yourself, right? And having everything that you might need to make it right there. Oftentimes, have you seen these flavored straws that sort of disintegrate?
I have not.
Yeah, like you can take straws. Have you ever done this? Like it's fun to take straws. you know, wet them and then dip them in sort of like pixie.
Oh, sure. Yes.
Candy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then they dry.
Yes.
And have that out for the kids.
Love this.
And they take a regular straw and they can, you know, they have a pixie straw and then it's just not that at a party your kids need more sugar. I'm just saying.
Or somebody else's kids.
I'm just
that's all
like
good.
It's these small little touches. I could go on for. I might need to have to do a part two.
I think that's a great idea.
I might have to do a part two next week. Yeah. But I'm saying it's these small little things that make your party not only memorable for you and for your guests, but also make it something that is a little bit of an experience at every turn, from the seating arrangements to the decoration to kind of what you served. And it doesn't need to be fancy and expensive. It just needs to be genuine. So that's kind of what I was trying to convey today. So anyway, for more tips, go to realsimple.com, holiday entertaining, seasonal events. It's basically the 30 outdoor entertaining tips. It's worth a read on the Sunday, guys. Listen, have a great weekend. You've been listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. You've been coached.